The cold wind of the night blows its way through the treetops of the wolf's stable forest. The desperate light of the moon peers through the clouds, casting long shadows on the forest floor. The shadows bend and twist as they dance in the wind, and they are shifted and retreat as little globes of light grow and pop randomly, powered by the spirits at rest. A dark figure stumbles through the shadows, trying to claw its way to the south, to Applecourt. Applecourt, a large old town of stone buildings and cobblestone roads. Only a few chimneys breathe their smoke, their fires within refusing to succumb to the cold night. The dark figure, nearly at the forest's edge, can just barely make out the lights of the town through the trees. It looks up to the hill at the edge of the town, to the large stone walls of the quiet Applecourt keep. It grasps tree sides as it stumbles, unsure if it will make its journey. Its light brown fur catches a beam of moonlight, and he grabs at its side, pulls his meaty hand back, and dark purpley blood glimmers in the moonlight.
Bobo. 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 Bobo.
Short rest for the wicked.
Hi everyone, welcome to Short Rest for the Wicked.
That was fun.
Hey. Yeah, wasn't it just? I love it.
That was pretty good.
And also, welcome to the first episode of A Sheep in Wolf's Clothing.
Woo woo!
Now I know a lot of people might be afraid if they haven't heard last week's announcement that Trials of the First Atlas is ending. You don't have to worry about that. That is going to be released next week, and from here on out, we will release in tandem this show with the Trials. However, in this show, I am Brady Moore, your Dungeon Lord, and these are my adventurers.
Yay!
What order are we going in? Did we establish this?
Sorry, man.
Yeah.
Okay. This feels very weird being on this side of the screen. But my name is Nick Trotsik.
My name is Ethan Falk.
My name is Karina Evangeline.
Hi, howdy, I'm Keegan.
Hey, welcome to the show, everyone. I think it would be in the audience's best interest if we just got right into it. So,
cool.
It's morning.
Oh, jeez.
You guys find yourselves in your own separate places. However, we're going to take a focus as we settle in an Applecourt. The town is kind of bustling with the early spring's day-to-day activities. And we are departing a little bit out of Applecourt into the forest, following the northern road into a market. You hear wind chimes blowing in the wind on small tents. It's a bustling market at this point as the crowds have gathered and are starting to sell their wares. We see a lovely little, almost permanent shack where a small forester, a spirit person of the forest, a creature who has long been departed out of the spirit realm, in the shape of a 4 foot tall, lanky bear, a black bear. He's got grizzled white hair. He's currently at this point trying to chip off a large piece of rock so that he can start sanding and working his way on shaping the rock into its intended purposes. He needs, however, another tool, and he shouts for his son. He shouts, excuse me, Poe! Poe, where are those tools? And a flap from the door opens, and Keegan, why don't you describe your character to everybody, please?
As you see before you, or as whoever enters, Poe is about 3 foot tall bear forest folk. Think of almost a reverse colored panda. So pretty much primarily white, although around his eyes and his ears are... Actually, no, strike that. Around his eyes and his ears is white, but everything else is black.
Right.
There you go.
And do you come running in.
Yep.
With his tool, and immediately he says, we have a visitor today. I got a letter last weekend from James Brandt.
Really?
He's going to be replacing our tools. James Brandt is just a local handyman who replaces and fixes everyone's needs. He is a human who has a good relationship. So he's like, would you be able to gather all of the tools for me and just put them in the bin outside so that he can collect them? That way our prices go down a little bit.
Sure thing, Pop. I'm on it.
Cool. And you run outside and you see the bustling market is alive and well. And you can actually see James and his daughter, Lexi. They're on a cart and they're coming down the road. And so you know you only have a couple of minutes to get this done.
All right. I'll just rush over to James and wave. And I was like, whoa, excuse me, James.
And he's like, hey, Poe, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I believe I need to give you these new tools. I need to get some new tools from you.
Oh, right. Yeah, I have an order here for you. And he calls out to his daughter, Lexi, who looks like mid-teens. He's like, okay. Hey, Lexi, could you grab the their shipment that's in the back of the cart? And so she walks out and grabs a chest for you, hands it to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Here, I can... there's another bag of materials. I'll help you inside with it.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, and so as you bring in, you open the door to get into your shack, and a door closes to a nice little farm home where we see a friend of ours, a lovely, striking young lad. Nick, why don't you describe your character?
Sure. Okay. So standing at about 5 foot, 11, 5 foot, a solid 6 feet if you count the kind of coiffed, sort of styled brown hair that's kind of combed back and almost like a lion's mane kind of hairstyle. He has kind of a pale sort of Caucasian complexion. Typically very, very clean, except that there might be the occasional bit of dirt here and there. He has a sort of fine red kind of noble scarf that seems to be tucked underneath some woolen farmer's clothes. And over top of all that has kind of a heavier coat that's kind of cut off at the upper arms, such that his forearms, which are kind of wrapped in kind of cloth and longer gloves, are kind of exposed. He has a long pipe. Is likely smoking something of some description at this point.
Cool. So I was just about to ask, what do you think Carlisle would get up to in the first daylights in the morning?
At his own place. Yeah?
Yeah.
At his own place. If it's early in the morning, he'd definitely go out onto the front and smoke for a little bit. If there's any nearby people, he would always make a point of looking for the neighbors. Cool. And saying hi to someone.
Yeah, and there is a neighbor. And so you know this morning is the morning that you are going to visit your nephew.
Ambrose, right?
Yeah, Ambrose. Ambrose is, I don't even know if you would know Ambrose's name yet, but you probably would have, but he is a week old, and your sister-in-law is now healthy enough that she can have visitors again. And you see a woman walking, one of your neighbors. Her name is Shannon McGregor. And Shannon clearly works as someone from that delivers food and materials to the keep. So, and she seems to be struggling lifting the amount of flour and grains that she would be required. She usually has a pack animal of some sort, but she doesn't today.
Okay.
But yeah, she is making her way towards the keep. So, but she clearly is struggling as bits of flour is falling out.
First things first, be like, oh, morning, Shannon. And I'm like, oh, shit, let me help you with that.
And she's like, oh, thanks so much. Honestly don't have to. I can handle myself.
Honestly. The least I could do.
Oh, wonderful. Are you heading to the keep today?
Actually, I am.
So you could help me for quite some time then.
I would love to do nothing else.
Wonderful. And so as she hands you a large bag of flour, we switch to the...
Oh, okay.
A flour being carried by an elderly elf who is in the process of making a batch of cookies. Yeah. For her, there is a specific wonderful event happening today where you have been asked, specifically it's the, you are making cookies for all of the guild of adventurers that was established during the war. They're all retired and mostly depressed individuals now because of what they have to go through. But the name of the guild itself is... One second here. Just flipping through my notes. Oh, it's literally just the Retired Adventure Guild, or the RAG. The RAG is what it's known as. And there are a bunch of people who actually were soldiers in war, so they're veterans. But you know that you're getting a visit from one of the either granddaughters or grandsons to come collect these cookies. Okay. So currently you have your unseen servant up who is kneading away. You might have your main chan going around, but what would you be doing, and why don't you describe your character?
Okay, so Granny Geraldine is baking her cookies. She's got very white, silvery hair pulled up in a bun. she wears a flower crown, like, all the time. She thinks she's so cool. she's got burgundy robes, and then she carries a brown beaded handbag that she likes to hit people with. And very old, very withered. She's got very good smile lines in her face.
Oh, wonderful.
And then she also has a very distinct scar going from the bottom of her ear down the side of her neck.
And so I believe Granny would hear her the front door, who is... It's just a half shop, half house that you live in, a small little cobblestone building. You hear the front door bell ring as a individual walks out. Her, you know her immediately. She's the granddaughter of Mr. Mary, who is one of the veterans for the Retired Adventure Guild Society. Her name's Shelby Mary. And she walks in and she's like, "Hi, Granny."
"Oh, hello, dear.
I might be a little early."
"Oh, that's okay. You take a seat."
"Okay, we'll do.
Would you like a caramel candy?"
"I would love one." And you know for sure that that's why she's here early.
Oh, for my caramel candies.
Yeah, and as she sits down, she goes, "Just a small question. Is that supposed to be doing that?" And at this point, you notice your baking dough that your servant is now kneading, this almost invisible... wisp of every once in a while there's a light purple shock that comes from your unseen servant as the magic is just thriving through him. He's kneading the dough, and the dough is starting to form its own shocks, and it bulbous grows, and then the next bit grows, and you immediately know, no, that's not supposed to happen.
"Oh dear, that looks bad."
And it keeps growing and growing and growing, and you hear a large screech as this dough covered in chocolate chip cookies forms a mouth, this and it screams at the top of its lungs. How do you react as clearly Shelby is starting to like run and hide into your house?
So she's gonna grab one of her clean towel rags, and just put it over the bowl and just start smacking it.
Okay, so why don't you roll... So this thing is about the size of, like, a large German Shepherd at this point. So you are putting a blanket over, like, a problem, and it's not helping
you
at
guys
all.
Ever seen? You guys ever seen the thing?
I'm going to pick up a rolling pin and just start smacking it.
Cool, Ryan, you make an attack roll.
"It's okay, honey.
I just
have another caramel candy."
I believe it's going to be a club that we're going to relate this to. Oh, so you have a +1 to hit with this thing. That's it.
I have a +1 to hit. Alrighty.
Yeah.
That's an 11.
An 11, you say?
Yeah.
Well, you contact, but you're not sure you hit anything important as this creature has this huge arm-like pseudopod just hit your entire bag of baking soda.
Oh, no.
And it just consumes it and grows even larger. And then it's going to make an attack at you as this thing is perverse and pulsing. And there is something wrong happening here.
Probably smells pretty good, though.
Oh, it smells amazing. you are hit unless you want to do something about it.
I'm going to shield.
So as you do, as it gets so close to your face with this fist of chocolate chips, the shield fires up and these large purpley black shockwave hits where the fist would be. And it's like 3 inches away from your face. But it misses you now as its shield starts getting enveloped by this gross mutated form of cooking dough.
Oh, gosh.
What do you want to do?
I don't understand what's happening.
Do you, just to give you a little help, do you want to do a cooking utensils check?
Oh, maybe. That's my intelligence, right?
Plus your proficiency. So it should be a plus 5.
Ooh, that's a dirty 20.
A dirty 20. You know this thing has consumed far, far too much baking soda.
Okay. So there's water in my sink, right?
You have every bit of cooking supplies needed in this house.
Okay, cool.
I don't know why you're going for water when there's clearly a more dangerous thing that you could add to this if it's baking soda.
You ever made a volcano in high school?
On the edge of my seat right now.
Elementary school?
No, I didn't actually.
Well, you know, your character would know.
Yeah.
Karina doesn't, but your character would know that in your stone.
Vinegar.
Yeah, there it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there you
go. So yeah, then I'm gonna. Could I use shape water with that?
No, it's far too
acidy.
Yes. Okay. However, if you leave this creature's space, you get an attack of opportunity.
Right.
But so, what would you name? What's the name of your unseen servant?
Rose.
Rose is there. You could have as a bonus action, you could move Rose, but
yeah.
And that would get an attack of opportunity on it still, but it wouldn't be your own life being threatened.
Okay, I'm going to ask Rose to go get the vinegar from the
cabinet. So just so that I feel like I'm doing this fairly, why don't you roll an attack roll for this baking creature?
Aw, man. That's a 6.
Cool. It has a plus 4 to hit, and I believe that hits an unseen servant. So you watch Rose get obliterated. However, it just used its reaction. So it can't attack you now.
Right. Okay. So I'm going to go move and grab the vinegar and start dumping it on it.
Cool. Why don't you make an attack roll, but use your cooking utensil supplies instead. So it's a plus 5 to hit.
Oh, that's 22.
Oh my gosh. So right on its spot. Right on the spot that it absorbed most of this baking soda, you watch it start. You can roll a grand total of 4d6 damage on this bitch.
4d6. Oh.
15 points of damage.
Oh my god.
That was high roll.
Wow!
I'm beating it back with my rolling pin and.
Can you make a dexterity saving throw, please?
Dexterity, 16.
16, you will take half damage as you take 4 points of
crap.
bludgeoning as this thing fires at you like a huge explosion, and you just see the cackling energy of this, predetermined, something wrong, something weird magic just emanating through, but it's clearly dead.
Okay.
And then in the distance, you hear bells ringing, and you haven't heard these bells ring. And you know that no one else in the town will be able to hear these bells ringing since the war.
Oh, no.
And as you look out to the window, we follow your gaze up into the hills till we come to our wonderful pair of travelers who are now walking with these bags of flour.
Mm-hmm. Do I know her very well? Do I know Shannon very well?
You know her husband really well.
Okay.
Her husband's name is Tanner.
Hmm.
And he actually helped you like re-roof your cabin last winter.
Oh, sweet.
So
I would just be talking to her and finding out what's new and everything as we walk towards the
cool. And as you're coming up towards the keep, a bunch of the armed guards around wave her in, and they just ask you how you're doing. You might know them by name, you might not. But they're. Can you do a perception check for me, please?
Absolutely. That's going to be a 19.
19. Wonderful. A good perception check. You hear something crack and stumble. Off into the bushes outside of the keep. And it's a large crack and a large stumble. Like it's of a person or a creature of a large man would make this much noise. The guards seem more interested in the fact that this is like the day to have the announcement or the reveal of your nephew. So everyone's more on high alert for like people coming in, and they're currently checking out all of Shannon's like materials and making sure everything's accounted for.
Okay. I definitely like, I'd look over at Shannon, like if we're in the middle of something, like I'm so sorry, but did you hear that?
She's like, no, currently I'm just really distracted by Phil. And she points to the guard's obnoxious garlic breath. I don't know what he ate for breakfast.
I'm terribly sorry. Perhaps, Phil, perhaps you could point your garlic breath towards that bush over there. I don't know if anyone heard that.
And he's like, I have to escort her inside.
Well, then why don't you... And I'm gonna hand over the bag of flour to him. Why don't you take
and
this?
He's like, sure, all right.
There's a strong man of the army.
Oh, thanks. Oh, good Lord. You carried this... Okay, my God. And he's gonna walk her inside.
Man of duty. And is there more than one guard?
Yeah, there is. But he's currently going through what looks like to be someone from in town has brought a bunch of like furniture to be... be set up for extra guests who are coming to view this child.
Okay. Do you think... Actually, I don't know. Would insight help me at all in this instance?
You could roll insight just to see if you'd like to see if it's...
Okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah, might as well.
That is a 23.
Wow, good job. Whatever it is seems hurt.
Hurt?
Yeah, it is not hiding. It is... stumbling, and it seems to have landed in a bush and is currently hurt and stuck in this bush. And when I say bush, I mean like brambles of like a blackberry bush.
Oh shit. Okay. What I'm gonna do then, I'm gonna let the other guard know, like I'll kind of subtly push myself into his conversation with the furniture people.
Yep.
And just be like, hey, listen, there's something going on over in the bush. I'm gonna go check it out.
And he's like, all right, I'll keep an eye on you just in case.
That's
and you see
ask,
he pulls
you.
Out a crossbow, and he just has it pointed down to the ground to not startle the townsfolk, but he has the ability at any moment's notice to point and shoot.
I'm just, attaboy. And I want to see if I can kind of approach this bush. I want to see if I can get like a different vantage point on it to see if I can potentially see more about what I'm approaching. Before
yeah, why don't you do
close.
Just do an investigation check to see if you can find, or a survival check to see if you can find a vantage point like that.
I would love survival over investigation. That's a 19.
19? Yeah, you're able to come up from the side where you know that if it lashed out at you, it'd have to come from through a lot of these blackberry vines.
Okay.
And you're able to see something blondish, goldish.
Okay. Would you suppose that maybe I have, like some spare, like nuts or grains or something on me?
Sure.
I just want to
like in your rations, you can have those. Yeah.
Maybe, or I'm thinking cause I spend enough time like out in the forest and everything. I might have something on me. If I can have like dried berries or nuts or something, something that like the wildlife might typically eat. I just want to like hold it out in my hand and just slowly kind of get closer and just be like, a really soft voice, just like, hello there.
And you hear it go, help, please, help.
I can do that, but I have to get closer.
And you watch as a creature the size of one of the largest men that you've ever seen, walking on his knuckles and his hind legs, a blonde gorilla ripped apart from these thorns, with a massive wound on his ribs, bleeding this shiny purple blood. He has around where a bunch of where his fur should be kind of hardens into large wooden plates where his biceps are, where his forearms are, and then he's got all these wooden plates on his back, and you can see that he's got his hair kind of turns slightly into thorns. Around where the back of his head would be. This is clearly a spirit of the forest.
Oh, okay. And how commonly do spirits of the forest just kind of wander up to the edge of town?
It is very, very rare for a forest spirit to leave said forest.
I don't think I caught the other guard's name. Phil's Fred. I don't know. I'm calling out to him like, get help!
And he's like, he looks, and you can tell that he's like, help for what?
I didn't say look, friend. I said please get help.
Look, no, reinforcements?
Medical aid, something.
Oh, shit! And he, like, runs inside. Actually, pushing, like,
to be fair, that's a fair thing to specify.
Yeah.
He pushes the guy who he just let in, who has a bunch of chairs on a wagon, he pushes him over to, like, run in, and you can start hearing his shouts into the distance.
And I'm going to, if I can, help this spirit to the ground.
Yeah.
Like, a comfortable resting position.
He puts his arm over you, and he goes, it's in the forest.
I want to, like, as I'm kind of letting him down, I would like to bring him, like, away from the bushes.
Yep.
Like, closer to town, sure. Somewhere where, like, nothing can jump out on us. Just like, what's in the forest?
Dark, twisted, evil. And he takes a medallion on his chest and rips it so that you watch beads fly from the necklace. And he puts it in your hand, and you feel a burning sensation.
Oh.
In your hand as he goes, find the steward, ring the bell.
Find the steward, ring the bell.
And a glyph appears right where your hand is.
Oh, shit!
And you can start hearing, as your mind is overtaken by outrageous, what you thought was the wind now turns into whispers. The grass seems to be no longer it seems to dance in the wind instead of just being blown by normal. You can see that the birds, you can almost tell that the relations between the individuals when they fly, how their friendships unite. And you can see yourself for a mere second as your soul leaves your body, as you can see the surrounding areas. You can tell where the bugs crawl through the grass. The birds that are hiding in the bushes no longer seem to be worried about your existence there. You can even see a mouse try to sneak through the keep's gate.
I am immediately trying to recall everything I smoked this morning.
and a big thump as your spirit reconnects to your body, and a gasp from yourself gets turned into a gasp out of water in the middle of a forest in a small brook as a creature stumbles his way out of a small stream as his body continues to grow and form. Ethan, do you want to describe your character?
Oh, I would love to.
Buckle up.
I forgot to buckle up.
Crawling out of this small body of water, forms into a roughly 7'3" as it's not full length probably, but that's as tall as it stands. Crawfish.
What?
Pardon?
Pardon me. Fucking excuse me.
So I'm like I'm going through every herb I've gotten. Like, what the fuck did I smoke? What is going on?
It has the lower half of a crawfish. So like the I believe it's 6 legs.
Yeah.
And, gross.
Similar to a centaur, goes upright into a more humanoid upper half.
Oh my goodness.
Its arms are 2 big old meaty claws.
Oh boy.
Oh.
And like a hybrid, more humanoid face, but certainly with a lot of crawfish features.
What in the world?
Like the long, do you have the long?
Yeah.
Long weird antennae.
Antennae.
Oh.
On the top of your head.
They're like feelers.
I feel like
or something.
The most human part of the face will be the eyes and the nose, and then the mouth is more.
Oh.
Of all those little pincer grabby things.
Dude, what the?
Gross.
Oh.
I don't like this.
Yo.
He is white, more like kind of an off-white, and he's got a pipe. a long pipe that seems to levitate beside him briefly. And if you are knowledgeable in the arcane, it is a mage hand that is carrying it along.
Wonderful. So you hear the same words spoken as the last remnants of the spirit that you're taking the place of pounds in your head. Find the steward. So, having no predetermined idea what the steward is,
I would like to know, Ethan, how does your spirit friend here, how does he find said steward? What's he doing? What's he up to? So what's around me? Currently a small stream that comes out of like a stagnant little pool that has an in and an out. Like a stream goes into this pool, then it has clearly eroded away enough that it can be stagnant water, which is what you've spilled out of.
Okay.
And then the stream continues down, and it you can tell just from your natural ability that it eventually will connect to a large river, but you are not at that large river yet.
Yeah. Do I have... So I have zero knowledge of who this steward is or where it would be.
You know, when steward is said, you're like, that's a spirit. I know it's a spirit. Oh. Don't know what spirit it is, but that's a spirit.
Okay. Could I do a... I guess it would be some form of arcana or like the steward. Where in a forest would a steward usually
do that.
Hang out?
Go it up.
What ability do you want added?
Whatever you think I will work in how whatever your skill you're trying to roll here.
I'm gonna go with Arcana just because we're spirit different dimensions. For a total of 11.
11. So, you have a direction, but I think your Arcana leads you to I know. The general direction that a magical creature such as this would have appeared and would exist. However, I don't know if you would know how to mingle your way through there. So why don't we give a survival check to try to outbreak through the crappy arcana that you just rolled.
Total of 6.
6. Cool. So you are wandering lost throughout this forest, trying to find this individual that you have no idea what he looks like, no idea what possible remnants of a steward could be. You're not even sure what a steward is at this point, but the words are starting to ring in your head and they're starting to make sense. And then you, as you're walking, you're not being particularly stealthy, a large branch snaps, and we cut to a branch snapping. And Poe.
Yeah?
You hear something off in the woods make a large crack of a branch snap. And normally animals stay away from so many people. That's the immediate thought that you would get. So I'm wondering how would... As you're saying goodbye to your friend Lexi, and you're saying goodbye to her father, this loud snap of something moving in the woods is heard. What do you want to do?
Okay, so am I in the middle of the court or just like
outside the
shop?
You're on
your
own small little lane. So the market itself is like a lot of different like goat paths that then have kind of think like of a camping ground, right? There's a single road that winds through an area, and then there's small plots off
okay.
to the distance for different little shops, some being forest folks, some being people, some being even goblin at this point.
Okay. Okay. I'd say with the ripe age of 19, my curiosity of the outside would still be pretty, pretty out there. So I think just for like, just to make sure that the town is safe and my father's shop is safe, I would just go out there.
Sweet. I love it. So why don't you do a perception check or an investigation check, depending on what one right. you think is
Could
more
I,
important.
Could I do a smell-based perception check?
You can, yeah.
Thank you.
Means you have advantage on this roll.
Sounds good.
You little bear.
So that was a 17.
It smells sulfuric. It smells acidic. It has a perverse... orientation, and there's two of them for sure. Whatever is making this smell, it's two creatures.
Okay. Are there any trees nearby?
There's a forest, yeah.
All right. Can I do a stealth check and just climb into the trees to
sure
see?
Thing. Yeah. Roll stealth for me.
There are no trees. No trees in the forest.
Yeah, it's all just pine cones.
That's a 14 for stealth.
14?
Yeah.
Okay, what's this thing's passive perception? Oh, yeah. It doesn't notice you at all, and you Ooh. Watch as two creatures, they look like deer,
that have had their legs bent backwards bent backwards, and they are walking with their stomachs facing upwards. And you can see that they are moving kind of like insects. And where their antlers would be is now a large dripping maw. And they seem very intent on entering the market to do some destruction.
Okay.
Could
I do a, like, maybe Arcana or, like, a history I can figure that out?
Every action that you take, though, gets them closer to the civilians.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do a religion. Kay. Just to see if I know them. Oh, that's a 4. I got no idea.
Yeah, no idea. These are gross mutant creatures.
All right. So, I don't have my chain shirt on right now. I would say I was just in my work clothes of, like, a leather apron or something.
Sure.
So I'm still up there. I'm noticing that they're coming much closer. What I'm going to do is that I'm just going to probably just like reach my hand out, summon my wooden club.
Yep.
And then cast Chalet as I like flick my wrist down as the wooden club turns jet black.
Cool. Why don't you do a stealth check on that just in case hear your...
Nat 20.
Awesome. So you're able to do this silently, and to the fact where you're like, your adrenaline is pumping to the point where you're like, I could sneak up on these guys. Like, I have full confidence in climbing down this tree, and I would be able to sneak up on them. They have no idea I'm here.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm going to go climb down sneakily and try to get the drop on them.
Cool. Normally you can't do a melee unless you're hiding within something, but because you rolled a nat 20, I'll let you just walk up right behind these fools.
Okay, sounds good. All right, so I'm right up behind these guys.
Yep.
Could I do an action surge so I can attack them twice?
Of course you can. You can do whatever the hell you want.
All right. And since
what the fuck is he?
And since I'm
he's a bear.
Since I'm hidden, can
stealthy
I
bear.
I get advantage on these attacks, correct?
You get advantage on the first one, and then you've revealed yourself to them.
Okay, sounds good. So I'll take out the one on the left.
Sounds good.
So that's a 24 on the first
one. Well, that would for sure hit.
Oh shit, this guy's good. That's 11 magic damage.
What?
So you watch as you hit and it crumbles like a overburnt turkey. The skin pommels through and the flesh is dry and a smoke of steam appears and it screeches. A blood curling screech and it dies.
Alright.
The other one turns to you. This time no longer having advantage on your hit, go ahead and attack.
Alright, I'm gonna try and smack this guy in the face. Oh, that's a 21.
21. You're able to hit it. Go for it.
Not so good. That's a 7.
Cool. I need you to see if you go before they do. Can you roll initiative for me?
Hell yeah. That is just a 3.
Oh, so it gets to go. Yay!
Oh, no.
It's going to try to bite you with its giant mandibly face.
All right.
I rolled a grand total of... I think you're just in dex right now, right?
Yeah, I'm just dex, but can I cast shield?
You can, because it does hit you. Except your shield, a small spirit pommels out of like the top right of your... And as soon as it flies down, almost instinctively, you're about to get hit. And this tiny little globe, like the ones described earlier, appears and just hits the creature in the side, making him go a little bit like a foot to the right, and you are able to jump back, and you can see in your vision what it would have been like to be enclosed in this creature's mouth. How do you want to react? Because it's your turn now.
I'm going to hit him.
Hit him! Hit him with it!
Hit him with your best shot.
That's a 17.
17 does hit.
Nice. 6 points.
6 points. This thing also crumbles in the exact same way. And then you hear scuttling in the forest. Oh, as these creatures are scared of you, you can see 2 to 3 more. And you're pretty confident in your ability to kill these things. And they dart into the forest. How do you want to react?
Can I dismiss... Oh, would I have... I don't have my bolts with me, so I can't use my... longbow.
Right.
Actually, but you know what? How many of them are there?
There's three.
I'm going to cast a little itty-bitty magic missile and send one dart towards each one.
Okay.
All right.
Attaboy.
So I'll just tell you, like, dart 1, dart 2, dart 3.
Sounds good to me.
So dart 1 is 4.
Yep.
Dart 2 is 2.
Yep.
And dart 3 is 2.
Cool. They are now bleeding, and if you want, you can follow them and follow their blood trail easily.
I'll do that.
Cool. And as we watch him climb and rush through the bush, the same movement of people coming out from the keep as individuals run up to you, and you watch as this creature, this golden creature, starts like leaves in the autumn. Patches of fur start falling off in your hands.
No, 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 no. Medicine check.
Cool. Do so.
Stay with me, damn it.
I don't feel so good, Mr. Stark.
Oh, don't you dare. Out of my Christian server. That is a 12.
A 12?
I don't think medicine's going to do anything, but Carlisle doesn't know that.
You're able to tell this thing has passed.
I feel... I probably forgot to describe it. Like, I have kind of, like, cloth fingerless gloves on.
Okay.
Did that glyph burn through my glove?
Sure.
Do I still have a glove, or is it just a hole now?
No, it has a wonderful symbol. However, you do have this medallion. The medallion is of a crescent moon with a snake curled up in almost like that boy fishing in DreamWorks. The snake is curled up in the bottom of the crescent moon.
That is pretty dope. But I'm
now, you know, you've been burned.
I'm also terrified.
Cool.
I'm just gonna like one last thing before you die. I'm just like, wait, can you at least tell me what you did to me?
And it passes
and just like leaves is just gone.
Yeah, and you watch it as he's currently just crumbling into leaves.
I'm gonna
with the words "find the steward."
Ring the bell.
Ringing in your head.
He said, "Ring the bell too," right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Ring the bell. Find the steward.
Ring the bell. I'm gonna sit tight for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just kind of like poke around at the ground where he kind of died. I don't suppose I've ever seen a spirit die before, have I?
No. You've probably met a spirit or two.
Yeah.
And it's a spooky experience.
Yeah.
But this one, the fact that they can die might even be a new...
Oh, geez. Okay. Yeah, just kind of like poking around at the floor in like disbelief.
Mm-hmm.
Can I take one of the leaves?
Yes, you can.
That it kind of turned into, and I'm just gonna like pocket it for now and just kind of stand up, brush myself off. I'll take my glove off and look at the glyph for a minute.
And you can see little, and no one else seems to be able to see this, little tiny like marble sized globules of light start radiating from this symbol. But then those sooner or later the globules of light, almost like a soda running out of carbonation, stop.
Shit. Okay. I'm going to put my glove back on.
Okay. And a perfect symbol of the just kind of skewed because the glove is in a different position than it was last time. It's a perfect symbol of the same thing burned in your hand. You do have that medallion, though.
Still. Yeah. Do I know anything about that symbol?
Sure. Do either a religion or a nature check.
They are both equally terrible for me.
Cool.
So let's do religion. I got a 5.
A 5? No, you do not.
Oh, great. Yeah, I think like I'll go over to, did people show up? Like yeah. The guard came back.
Yeah, the guards came back with a couple of people to help. Even the keep's medic is here.
Okay, I'll probably like make eye contact with the medic and just kind of shrug, like I don't know what to tell him.
Oh, you're like, I asked for help. Now he did. So
not even dead. Like you can't even do an autopsy.
So this. Individual, you know his name is Cyrillin.
Okay.
Cyrillin is like, and you're not used to people addressing you like this anymore, but he goes, your lordship, may I speak to you in private?
Please, Carlisle. Of course.
Oh, right. Forgot. Sorry. And he brings you to the side of, around the keep, and he goes, no one else knows of this. But he does a little shift, and you can watch similar globules of light emanate off of him, and his features elongate, and his ears elongate, and you are seeing that this individual who probably was around when you were born, reveals himself to be a male elf.
Who's been like a human my entire life.
Yeah, your entire life. And he goes...
I'm going to rub my eyes.
And he goes, that is the mark, the herald mark of the spirit realm. Why is it burned in your hand?
I'll be honest. I think it's because I smoked something wrong this morning.
I would disagree, sir. Your eyes are not your pupils aren't dilated enough for that to be the case.
I know, let's be real here. You don't know the kinds of things that I get into.
That's 100% true. Although I know what a good high looks like, and you're not on it right now.
No, this is not a good high. I just had a spirit die in my arms.
Did it say anything to you?
Do I know Cyrillin to be a particularly trustworthy guy?
Oh, absolutely. He was the one who helped deliver every single one of you and your kin, and he was probably the one who helped deliver your nephew.
Can I just do an on the spot insight? Because for my entire life, he was a human, and he just revealed himself to be an elf.
You can even have advantage. You've been around this guy for a long time.
That's a dirty 20.
Dirty 20. He probably maintained his humanness, so people didn't show him prejudice. You know, there's two. There's you thought there was one elf living in the city, and she's a beautiful little granny who makes pastries.
Right.
So the fact that there was a second is.
It's probably better for his image, at least in this society.
He has been keeping up the illusion enough to make him look like he's getting older and older. You are now looking at a very young elf.
Okay, I guess for what I think, I'll just kind of like I'll put my hand palm up, take my glove off so that he can see it, and be like,
Cyrillin, I've known you my entire life.
Right.
And you're an elf all of a sudden.
I was spared helping in the war, and let's just say I don't think it's very fair that the humans don't get healers on their side. So I defected from the army, and I did a full treason, and I have been helping humans ever since. But that's not the important part right now. The important part is a spirit just died in front of you.
And what did you say this was on my hand?
It's the herald sign of the spirit realm. Normally, only creatures who are at the border of both worlds can even remotely know what that symbol is.
So what does it mean now that it's on me?
I don't think it's ever been in contact with a human before. I have no idea.
Oh, great. Someone better have answers soon. Maybe I should just go home and sleep this off.
Maybe you should if you'd like, but... seems like things are at motion here.
Okay, fine. Well, what he said to me is he said, find a steward, ring the bell.
And he, does like, that his, mean eyes, any... his eyes go wide and he's like, come with me. And he grabs your
arm. Okay, so that does mean something to you.
And runs inside. You go through the halls. A couple of people are like, oh, hey!
Hi, you're good, bye!
You rush to his office. The office doors open and you see your sister there. Obviously your younger sister, who currently is looking for some sort of bandage, and she's like, oh, Carlisle, hello.
Oh man, what I forgot to write it down. What is my younger sister's name?
Your younger sister's name is Catherine.
Catherine. Do I have a nickname for her? I think I'd probably call her like Kate or something.
Sure, go for it.
I just kind of like little wave. It's like, Kate.
She's like, oh, sorry, one of the chefs cut himself while preparing the... I'll get out of your hair. And she takes like a bandage and some what looks like disinfectant and leaves and says, good to see you. I hope to see you later.
Yeah, of course. Do you have like a salve for a burn or anything?
It's like, I've just been learning from...
Okay, no, don't trouble yourself.
And she's like, gotta go. And she rushes. Clearly she is worried about this, the chef.
As she's running out, just be like, how's dad?
He's like, grumpy, but you know.
So normal.
Yeah, absolutely. Same as always.
The heart's still pounding right now. Like, what is going on?
And Cyrillin is just going through tomes, looking for some sort of... And these books that he's pulling out are like... all the regular books are like just normal basic journals filled with medical notes. The ones he's grabbing are like wooden tomes, mm-hmm, with beautiful brass and golden...
embroiderments with jewels and crystals, and he's flipping and throwing, and he goes, all right, and he throws a giant tome on the desk, and he says, listen.
Is there a window in this room?
No. You know there is a window, but it's currently shuttered and locked. So if you want to, you can but currently nothing visible to the outside.
I just imagine, like, as a nervous tick of Carlisle's, he probably throws this book down, and I already have my pipe in my mouth, and I'm trying to light up some herb in my pipe.
He's totally fine with it.
Okay, good. Because I'm now smoking.
He then says, so the Herald is a position that has changed quite some time, but the bell is always the same. And he quickly pulls out a map, marks a spot in the forest, and he goes, last time it was rung, it was here. I don't know if the bell changes position.
Sorry, the steward or Herald?
The steward is a position that changes.
Okay.
Sorry, my bad.
No worries. And he points to a map, is like, this is where the bell was rung last?
Yeah, and it looks like it's about like a few miles east of the merchants that are in the forest. So, like, an easy traversable area, but nowhere you've ever been.
Okay, so the bell was rung there last, but what is the bell? What is the steward?
The steward is someone who warns the forest of nature, of a natural enemy. It is someone who protects the elves through warning and protects the forest folk from warning. It's not someone usually trifled with. So if that spirit asked you to go talk to
the steward?
The steward, he has asked something large of you.
This is not how I start the day going.
It's not how I start. I thought I was going to bathe a baby in front of a bunch of people and move on with my life.
I was just trying to see my nephew and carry some wheat. Ugh. Okay, I realize that I've been asked something very large of me. But you're the only source of answers I've got.
Sure.
Sarlin, could you come with me? If this is something large, and like, I will do anything to protect nature.
He says, I can certainly try, but I have to go ask his lordship if I can head out. I was needed for today's activities.
His lordship being
your older brother.
Maybe I should talk to him.
Sure.
Can that be in Sylvan?
Yeah, it can.
Yeah, that last bit is like, maybe I should talk to him.
It'd be a good idea, yeah.
Damn it.
What's my relationship like with my older brother?
I think he probably feels like he's a nice man, but he probably feels you to be a bit silly.
Good. Good. I'm gonna ask Sirlin just like one more question. How long would it take to get to the last location of the bell?
On horseback? An hour? Maybe two?
Back in time for the celebration.
Absolutely.
All right. I want to talk to my brother.
Wonderful.
We'll be back before the party. I'm going to finish this pipe. Is that okay?
It's like, yeah, you know that you're allowed smoking anywhere in the keep. You're an Earl of Apple Court. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, but I'm not smoking because I can do whatever I want. I'm smoking because I need this.
Well, that's concerning. but for right now, I'll be your friend and not your doctor.
Put yourself in my shoes.
No, your feet are wickedly larger than mine.
Man.
Okay, I'll finish up, and then I'm gonna go find my brother.
Cool. And as you close the door to the,
will you be here when I get back?
He's like, I'll come with you.
Okay.
Yeah. And so he as you close the door to the to his makeshift office, the door to the granny's house opens. The bell is ringing. Something is happening to the forest that you haven't heard in probably 30 to 40 years, and it is ringing.
The bell that I'm hearing, is that the same bell that they were talking about, like the one in the forest two
hours
away?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I can hear it from here. And I would
You know that you can hear it days away. This bell is not something to be rung loosely.
Would I know who Cerulean truly is?
No.
No?
No, he has not given himself up to the town yet.
Okay. Hmm. Well, knowing that she has to go do something about it, she'd probably start packing a bag, make sure she has some snacks and cookies with her.
Sure.
And
easily packable.
Do
you hand over maybe you don't have cookies, but you have other pastries.
I
can't make your cookies. Turned out to be a horrible being.
Yeah. I'm so sorry about that experience.
And she was like, I mean, at least everyone's okay. But Shelby grabs the tray of assorted baked goods that you're like a little bit of a half fruit cake here, half of a pie here. And she's like, it's a bit not cookies, but it will work.
They'll love it.
I think so too. Thanks for the candy. And she runs off.
You're welcome, my dear. Okay. Do I have 10 minutes?
You can have as much time as you'd like.
Okay. I'm going to take 10 minutes and cast Find Familiar.
Yep. So, well, it would already be cast, so you already got it up.
Oh, okay. So I don't have to...
No.
Okay. Okay. Then I will summon my familiar, who looks strangely like a white bread loaf.
Yep.
But it's a cat.
Cute.
And her name is Loafy.
Oh, good lord.
Oh, my goodness.
I love it.
Do you head towards the ringing?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Wonderful.
I'm just going to start making my way out, make sure I have all my stuff with me, and then go...
Okay.
Making your way downtown?
Come on, Loafy.
Or opposite direction.
You head over a bridge, over a stream, we cut to a bridge of a large stream that I believe you would probably just ignore completely, Mr. Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you... You've been wandering the forest for quite some time now.
Yep.
Why don't we have some re-rolls?
I would love to. Well, same as before? Same abilities, or...?
Yeah, or anything else that you think would work.
Okay, well, I can tell you that I don't think I have any abilities that'll turn a 9 into something...
Right.
Particularly,
but you might as well do
fun.
Another survival check if you would like.
Yeah, I'll go for a survival with a natural 1.
Cool.
I'm a fucking lost lobster.
Jeez.
Such a weird... To the point where...
You put the cray in
you
crayfish.
ram-smacked by 3 individuals. The same deer creatures that you have been following. They do a total of 4 points. No, I'm going to make it divisible by... You take 6 points of damage as they run into you. But then one's immediately clobbered by a little bear forest folk who has been following them at their heels. And when they finally hit you, he's able to catch up to them and just obliterate them with one. He obliterates one. Do you want to try to...
Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah, these clearly are perverse creatures.
Just with a claw attack, that will be a 16 to hit.
Cool, roll damage.
It'll be what is that, D6. 4 damage.
Cool. As you grab it around its neck, you watch its head just start to pop.
Ooh.
And you see a grotesque purple energy just at the front of its head. There's one left. It is going to make... because you're right there, he's going to try to bite at you.
Okay.
Oh, I rolled a 4. As you like maybe hold it back with a claw and you're like, nope. Out of the two of you, which one do you want wants to go first?
I don't care.
I can go.
Cool.
Go off.
Ooh, that is a mother freaking 23.
23 hits.
Atta
boy. Yeah. Oh, max damage of 13.
Boom! You had to squeeze the life force out of this thing slowly. This dude hits this creature so hard it flies into a tree and just gets obliterated. And you're like, oh, good. Small thing packs a punch.
Uh-huh.
And now you guys are face-to-face. This is the first time in a long time, maybe even your entire life, that you've witnessed a spirit, Poe.
So do I know already that this is a spirit?
Yes.
So I would know that this guy's a spirit. I would think I would just kind of like kneel down to show like great respect to this being. Which like, it is an honor to meet someone as yourself.
I will pull...
Do you say this in Sylvan?
Yes.
Okay. So you understand the words immediately, fluidly.
Cool. I will pull the pipe that I have in between my claws and take a big old drag and breathe out that mage hand that was there before and just give him a little scratch on the head.
Super cute.
Jeez.
I would like to ask also in Sylvan, it's like... How long have you been here?
I will look up at the sky. How long have
I
been
here?
So
here's the deal. You have been in that stream since the beginning of your time. So time is weird for spirits because they're immortal. You've been here forever. Since the beginning of you, you've been here forever.
Okay.
It doesn't really matter to you that there was something before you. So unfortunately, I think a lost in translation moment's about to happen because to you, you have been here since the dawn of time.
Yep, and that's... I have been here since beginning.
Of course. I thank you for your assistance on helping me track down and handle these disgusting things.
Absolutely.
I'm kind of curious on where they came about, because they were about to come into the village that I'm living at.
Okay.
Are you by chance trying to find out where they came from as well?
No. I need to find the steward.
Do I, can I do a history to see if I know what steward is?
Oh, that's just a six.
I don't know if you know where the steward is, but you can roll for a survival check now. Or what was the first one I said? Arcana. You can roll for an arcana.
Okay.
And you could help him.
I would love to.
Okay, sounds good.
Advantage on this arcana.
Oh, that's a no.
Oh, okay. It's an 18.
I think you know stories have been told about a bell ringing. You're also a creature that could hear this bell ringing.
Okay.
So I think you know where the bell is rung. If you want to do a survival check to lead this new spirit, or in your perspective, this ancient old spirit okay. to where the... bell is rung, you may do so.
Okay,
so you may do so with advantage because you succeeded on your arcana check.
Okay. So I got a 22.
Heck yeah. So this little dude knows exactly where it is.
Hell yeah.
And he'll lead you in that direction.
As
you run through a passage between the trees, we cut to the exact same movement of running through the hallways. Maybe not running, but swiftly moving through the hallways between you and your new elven friend, who is now, by the way, still hidden as a human.
Yeah.
Cyrillian is closely on your tail, and he you know exactly where your brother should be. He should be in like the courtroom. And as you open up, you can see there's a couple of staff members here setting up. There's your father in the corner talking to a bunch of people, and then there's your who seem to be on like celebration duty, and then there is your older brother. And your older brother is currently picking between something to do with decorations.
Okay. And sorry, this is in the keep in Applecore?
Yeah, in the keep. You're in the courtroom of the keep.
Okay. I'll make my way through the crowd pretty quickly. Just kind of nod to anybody who I recognize.
Yeah, a bunch of the townsfolk treat you a lot more respectfully than you would
than the rest of my family, maybe.
Yeah, I think your brother would be like, oh God, these people care, but like he would acknowledge the fact that you are getting a good standing with the people. So they wave at you and they smile.
Yeah. Okay.
And
sweet.
Then your brother motions away to the people because he sees his family approach.
Brother.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
That's a very interesting question, actually. A little tired, a little run down.
Aren't we all?
You more than anyone else, I imagine.
Well, thank you.
Hey, listen. Actually, what did Cyrillian say that he was needed for?
He was needed for, he was going to be someone in part of the celebration of announcing this child to the...
Okay. Do I know a time frame of what this event is supposed to be?
It's mid-afternoon, but you were going to come meet the kid before the celebration happened. Okay.
I want to say, hey, listen, so about what time were you thinking of actually having this celebration?
A few hours past noon.
Okay. Well, listen, I need to ride out of town. It's something pretty urgent came up, and I'm afraid I'm going to have to take Cyrillian with me.
And he looks you square in the eyes, and it's been a while since you've seen your brother, a sternness, but like an understanding.
I like meet
behind his eyes, where you can be like, holy shit, what happened to my brother? This is a wise man in front of me now. This is no longer the kid I used to play with. This is a man who's ruled the town for a bit. And he goes, you would not ask me unless it was important. Take a couple of my horses.
And I'm just going to like close my eyes in relief and just kind of bow my head and just be like, thank you.
Absolutely.
I will not.
Don't tell father you're doing this.
I don't tell father a lot of things.
Wonderful. I'll keep it to myself as well. And if you're not back in time, you will be forgiven, but you will have to make it up to us.
I'll be like, I'm kind of doing that thing as I'm smirking and slowly stepping back. I just kind of like wave my pointer finger and I'm like, I will not miss my nephew's celebration.
And he goes, wonderful. Good luck with whatever you're doing.
Thank you. I love you.
I love you too.
And I'm like grabbing Cyril and I'm like, right.
And he's like,
guess it's time to go.
Man, if I asked him that, he would have told me a straight no.
Well, families.
Okay, well, I know. I'll go grab the horses. You should probably disperse those guards that are dealing with the pile of leaves, and I'll meet you at the front of the keep.
Sure, give me some time to grab my stuff.
Absolutely.
I want to make sure that I grab my armor, grab my pack,
sure,
and all that
Actually,
jazz.
Then if you're going to do that, he says he'll meet you at your house.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
That's the plan.
And as you're running to the house,
can I pick a brown horse?
Yeah, both will be brown, just so that there's no... because if you want a brown horse, that would probably mean that there are brown horses in the area.
Yes. I have picked the horse cannon.
Yeah, exactly. as you run through a river on a path, or a stream on a path to get back to your house, the splashing of the water mimics the splashing of the water of our two new companions. One the size of a small teddy bear, the other the size of a large horse, running through the forest.
You're probably outrunning me, or you're on a slight...
I got a movement of 30, so I don't know.
Yeah, I got a movement of 25, so you're still probably like just only maintaining my pace. We're just like, ha, ha, ha,
it's like, keep up, Samwise.
And the running is then mimicked between the running of... our beautiful Granny Baker, as she is maybe not running, but moving with a swift speed so
she's
that
got
she
a fast walk going on.
Yeah. And that translates to the galloping of the horses once you get onto the horseback, which then translates into the galloping of the little tiny legs of our crawfish individual. And all of these scenes blend together so that the four of you, excluding the elf, of course, the bell has not yet been rung, appear in a clearing together. And you all are... at this point, he has... as soon as he hit the forest, your... Cyril and friend's ears just naturally occur, and his hair changes from the old grayish color to the dark black of his elven form. He is in traveling clothes as well, but the four of you emerge in this clearing with a large stone pillar that maybe rises about 6 feet so that our tall friends and our friends on the horses can see the top of it. There looks to be a place where a bell could be rung, and a bell is missing. But for the first time in your life, after seeing maybe a spirit up close, you are revealed to a second spirit as the four of you come into this clearing together. So now there are 6 creatures, 2 horses, a man, an elf, a forest folk, and a spirit.
I immediately start looking for the bell.
Cool. So yeah, what does everyone else do as this giant crayfish creature is like, bell? Do an investigation check and we'll get to your result after everyone's interaction.
I think I'll probably just like eye up the human and the elf on the other side on their horses. Can I just do an insight to see if he can figure
go
out?
Go for it. Do an insight.
I'm going to do a deception for the hell of it.
No. I got an 11.
I got a 12.
Ah. Oh.
You can't get a beat on me. But okay. I'm going to get my horse to kind of slowly trot forwards towards these two guys.
Yeah, and what's interesting is you have this kinship to the horse now that you've been riding it. You feel like you knew how long the horse could run after a bit. And you feel like you have this sense of understanding of how this horse feels about the general facility. And what's interesting is a calm way it washes over your horse when in presence of this giant crayfish. And that shouldn't be the case.
This is new for me. I'm just gonna wave across to whoever of the spirit and the bear.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Poe, can you do a history check for me, please?
Sure.
And why don't you do a history check? Because you've probably been to the market. You might know who Poe is.
17 for Poe.
16 for
I think you would know of Poe. I'm not sure you would know who he is intimately. You do, however, know that this is the Earl of Applecourt.
Carlisle McVane.
Carlisle McVane, who has renounced his earlship and has been living amongst the people for quite some time. Just a generally good folk.
The Earl.
My investigation was a 14, by the way.
14? Okay. So as the three of you approach, in Sylvan, your companion, Carlisle, Cyrillin, says, what is a forest folk and a spirit doing in the clearing of the bell?
I would ask the same thing for you two. I find that me and the spirit here are far more reasonably placed.
And he looks at you says, a sign? Is that okay with me saying? Is a sign okay? from another spirit to come here?
I don't know what else I would call it.
Yeah, Carlisle has been given a sign to come here. And with a 14... go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, I'd look back at... I kind of like point and take a gamble at his name. You know, it's like, Poe.
Yes.
Right. I think we're quite as reasonably placed here as you. We're here to ring the bell.
Mr. Spirit,
mm-hmm.
You find a tiny hole in a tree. The hole itself is tiny for your stake.
Yeah.
You feel like Poe could stick his head in it, maybe. But there is a little home with a tiny bed and a table and a chair, and you see a bug, a May bug, which if you don't know what a May bug is, it's this furry little creature that's kind of like a beetle. It's got like beetle wings, but it's this furry little creature with buggy eyes. Except this thing is shifting, ever so shifting in color between greens and reds and purples, slowly, not in like a, whoa, that's kaleidoscopy, more like in a transitioning between colors at all times. And immediately, as every spirit knows the name of another spirit, if they have named themselves, you know this creature's name is Adriel. And Adriel is indeed the steward of the forest.
Oh, cool. That's convenient.
Well, it's not like he's hiding.
Yeah.
And he goes...
In ancient?
No, ancient's the a giant. So he also speaks Sylvan. And he goes...
Okay.
I don't think I've met.
I am... And so how is... Spirits name themselves, yeah. In this?
Yeah.
So I guess he'll go, I have yet to do that.
He goes, it took me quite some time. I was just being called the steward for a bit there. You're not here to replace me, are you? That'd be very grim.
No, we need to ring the bell.
Oh, wait. If you're here and I haven't met you, do you know who you replaced?
Do I?
You can do a history check to see if you have that just inkling of knowledge in your head.
Was that with disadvantage? 11.
No, regular world is disadvantage for him. 11? No, you do not.
Do I hear this conversation?
Yeah, they are whispering it, but you have a decent enough perception that you can hear that someone is talking and they're asking, why are you here? And just the general information of it.
Well, I would particularly be interested in Adriel saying, like, who did you replace?
Right.
And knowing the spirit replaced someone. So probably, as I would just be talking with Poe for a little bit, hearing that part, be like, just look to Poe and be like, excuse me. And I'd walk over to the spirit and be like, I'm begging your pardon, spirit.
Hello?
But I did just today encounter a spirit who passed.
Can you describe him for me?
Of course. And I kind of relay what I saw, and the kind of golden gorilla.
That creature's name was Shadow Braun.
Shut up, Ron. He, I pull out the amulet, like, he gave me this.
It is yours now if he has given it to you. But he would not give it, nor would he be able to be so defeated easily. I'm afraid I think you are all here for the purpose of the bell.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. And he said something about like a dark force or a dark energy in the forest.
Then I must warn the forest. And you watch him fly over to the edge through your guys' gaze. And he That's grabs where the bell's top would be. And you watch his beetle body flare as a large ring appears around his body.
He's the bell!
And he flutters his wings a bit.
And shakes that booty.
Moves, and the bell swings and swings and a piercing bing, bing, bing just emanates through. And you can tell that it's a low tone, but the tone is traveling far and wide. And immediately, your friend turns to you, worried that you might not be able to hear. And Cyrillin goes, "There is a noise coming from him. Don't worry."
Oh, I can hear it, right? Or can I not hear
it? You can for sure hear it.
Oh, no, I hear it.
And he goes,
"Is that bad?"
"You would be the first human in history to hear it."
I'm going to take up my pipe.
At this point, you realize that small globules of light, spirits not powerful enough to take physical form, start dancing their way through. And you, Mr. Spirit, have a sudden urge, and you know, maybe even to ask your friends, you now need to warn these creatures of... That's now your task. The bell is being rung, and you are the one to ask it to be rung. You now need to inform what has happened, and now you know what has happened. You know that Shadowbron has been killed, and you have taken his place, mm-hmm. which means there is a creature in the forest willing and capable of killing a spirit. So whether or not you ask your new friends to... but immediately you watch as the two horses, once the bell is rung, start freaking out too until they are calmed.
Do you think I could try and calm my horse?
You can if you want. Go for it if you do an animal handling check or a persuasion check.
Is that animal handling, or is there a certain thing that I'm looking at here on my sheet that I can do?
Yeah, there is for sure something on the sheet that you can do.
I would probably, from what I understand about myself, I would try to just attempt animal handling, but beasts understand my speech and can decipher their noises and motions.
Yeah. So now that you have this glyph on your hand, and as soon as the bell is rung, you are able to now calm these creatures, the horses. And immediately, I think Cyrillin understands the importance of this. And so he starts walking and he bows to every single light. You feel you don't have to, Ethan. but Poe, you watch as Cyrillin walks around and starts talking to these lights, explaining that a character named Shadowbron has passed. There's a creature in the woods. It is not a safe place anymore. Be on your guard. So on and so forth.
Okay. I think I'll just like be amazed by like seeing all this, cool. this spectacle. I'd probably just like, oh boy. And just kind of just like stand just in place. Just like looking at everything.
After a while, every once in a while, an elf appears. Which are exclusively rare creatures at this point since the war has ended. They're usually so deep into the woods. But they'll walk up to either Cyrillin or yourself and ask you, why is the bell being rung? Do you also do what Cyrillin is doing, Carlisle? Do you also explain what is happening?
Probably, yeah. This elf approaches. I'd be like looking around nervously like, oh, this elf is approaching me. I would explain, basically. It's like, I was approached by a spirit, a pretty... powerful one by the sounds of his renown, and he was killed by some sort of dark force. We were directed to ring the bell, all of us.
All right, well, and then the elves say, I will make sure to let my people know. Thank you for ringing the bell. And then you watch as he turns, and it gets really hard to see him as he disappears. Clearly, there is a spell on him.
Can I try and call out to him real quick?
Yep.
I just want to be like, wait, what does this mean for us?
And then he doesn't respond.
Oh, well, that's helpful.
Right? Isn't it such? And then, moving quite quickly, after quite some time, the spirits start diminishing, and you see the last and final elf appear. Old in appearance, which is saying something for an elf, carrying an assortment of sweets, is our granny.
We smell her coming.
Yeah, you smell her coming first.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so, yeah.
I'll your main purpose here is, why is the bell being
ringing? Yeah, yeah. I'm walking into the clearing, kind of holding my hip, like...
And you see Poe. Poe is someone that you have probably sold treats to, mm-hmm. because sometimes when you need an extra buck, you would go to the market and sell treats. But you haven't seen Poe since he was a little baby bear.
Okay.
But because of his white markings, you are easily able to recognize him. You see the once adorned Earl of Applecourt, who is now just his old good self, Carlisle. And you see for once in a long time, two spirits, one ringing the bell and one outrageously big.
Weird crawfishy thing.
Weird crawfishy thing. And everyone sees the tiny little elven woman.
Oh, hello, dear Poe.
Oh, hi.
I haven't seen you since you were so small.
I guess it has been a little bit of time. Oh, what are you carrying? What do you have with you? I just scurry right towards her.
Oh, do you want a little caramel candy?
Thanks.
My specialty.
Thanks.
I take one. I just pop it in.
Anybody else?
Do I recognize this lady?
Oh, yeah. Everyone knows her. She's the only elf that lives in the town.
What would I typically call her? Would I call her by, like, granny, or would I call her
everyone
her name?
Calls her granny.
I would, like, lift my pipe up as kind of like a salute, like a hello, and just be like, hello, granny. Of course I'd love one.
Oh, here you go, and I walk over to you. Oof, my hip's doing me bad.
What brings you out here?
Well, I heard the bell.
That makes sense.
Oh, you big boy, would you like a candy?
Is there a... How are you carrying these candies?
They're in my brown beaded bag, and I'm waddling up to you.
Take the bag.
Take
the bag.
I can pop one in your mouth if you like.
I grab the whole bag, and I start chewing on the outside of the bag.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I got plenty, but I gotta have that bag.
This is... What?
That's a bag. The candy's inside the bag. Would you want... Here. So I take the bag
from him. I'll hand it back.
And I'll put a candy in his claw.
Love it.
You eat that.
I will try to eat that.
You'll love it.
Yeah, it tastes cool. Just like you would imagine the candy to taste. And at this point, a large billow of a cloud appears. And you can see it snaking and slithering its way around the clearing. And then eventually you notice that through this cloud... scaly hide appears.
Is that bad?
And a large snake-like head, but along its spine and winding around its body as if like a corkscrew are large crystals of spiritual energy, and it winds its way through the trees, making sure to watch you guys. And its body is so long, and its body is thick enough to that you're not sure, Mr. Spirit, if you could grab all the way around this creature. It's so thick, but it winds its body all the way around, and its head appears standing about 30 feet. Its eyes glaring. A third eye appears on the top of its head, and it says in a low, deep, sylvan voice, "Why has the bell been rung?" Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening to our new episode of Short Rest for the Wicked, the first episode of A Sheep in Wolf's Clothing. I'm glad you all listened to the whole thing. That was very nice of you. Just like every single week, the one thing that hasn't changed is the fact that we have an Instagram page that you could follow and see our beautiful faces on. We also have a Facebook page that you could follow and see our beautiful faces on, and maybe talk to us and see some fan art. Also, we have a Twitter account. Our Instagram and Facebook is at Short Rest for the Wicked, and our Twitter is at Short Rest. I hope to hear you guys next week when we have another episode of Trials of the First Atlas. In the meantime, stay frosty, pony boy.
What?